نعبده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد معدن الجود والكرم. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وآله الفالق والله. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وآله وصحبه وبارك وسلم.
Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. Today, this majlis of dhikr, this gathering of dhikr, on this basis, it is unique. It is unique because today, Allah to us has given the tawfiq for his dhikr, not just in a great month, Rabi'ul Awwal, Allah has bestowed us a gathering of dhikr, but rather such a great night also this is, such a blessed night, such an excellent night, honorable night. In comparison to this night, there's no night, no time at all, and no moment at all. Why? Because today, the night to night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's great favor came to us on humanity, on humankind. In the Quran, Allah said it is a favor, ihsan. And the purpose, the reason for the existence of the universe, the master of the two worlds, who is the bridegroom of the Mi'raj and the guidance to mankind and the Nabi of Rahmah, mercy, when he arrived to this world, and his mother, respected Bibi Amina radiallahu anha, stated that I was something before, and after this I became something else. Abdullah bin Muttalib, she got married to him. Nikah took place. And after that nikah, a unique change came into me, she said. That when from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a nur came to her, then she said, I wasn't that same Amina as before, I became a different Amina. And when her husband passed away, her husband, and she became a widow, Abdul Muttalib was her father-in-law, and then she would stay with him. And Abdul Muttalib's mother, the Holy Prophet ﷺ's mother, who is the grandmother of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, and he was the head, the sardar, of the people in Makkah. He was in charge of the Kaaba. He had status. So his wife, Abdul Muttalib's wife, said to him that Amina, she has become a widow. Her husband has passed away. And she applies scent, perfume, and not a little bit of scent, but the whole locality is affected by that fragrance, that scent. It's such a bad thing that this is a dishonor for us that a widower, she's a widow and she walks around smelling of fragrance. And this is disrespect for us in our community. So I don't like this at all, she said. I can't take this. But I don't have the courage that I can speak to her. So she said to Abdul Muttalib that you speak to her. It's not a good thing. And we are dishonored, disrespect for us. She couldn't dare to speak herself. And such an honor or status came into Amina that nobody else could dare to speak to her. And then he pulled himself together, plucked some courage, went to her and said, "Daughter, what fragrance do you apply to yourself? It's not good." And that fragrance, the perfume, everywhere they could smell it, it spread everywhere. He said, "It's not a good thing." And then she started to cry. And she said, "This perfume is not just limited to this, it's beyond this. What things shall I say to you? What can I share with you? That in the night, when I go to sleep, then the moon gives salam to me. And the night when it spreads out, the night, then the stars look at me and they smile. When I go to sleep, I don't know, such beautiful women come to me and they blow the fans next to me and they give me comfort. And in the morning when I wake up, then the sun gives salam to me. So it looks like that I am like the pivot in the universe, that the whole universe is looking at me and is submitting to me." So the reason for this is, Abdul Muttalib, he kept on listening. And she said, "I've not achieved anything. There's no miracle or anything that I've done. It's not my achievement or due to me. But the real reason is that the guest that's about to come, who is about to come, it's all his barakat, subhanAllah." Abdul Muttalib, he went silent. Then she said that when the Holy Prophet ﷺ was born, at that time, that feeling, that moment, that all of this was selected by Allah. The time, the moment, the day, the occurrence, the event. Allah Ta'ala selected the time. Allah selected the moment, the environment, and the time of his birth. Allah Ta'ala selected all of this. The month was selected by Allah. The day, the moment, the month. And it was the month of Rabiul Awwal. And Hazrat Amina was the mother. And the father was Abdullah. And this was all selected by Allah. It's not some minor thing that he who was coming, that he was going to be born into this universe. Imamul Anbiya, the head of the prophets, the final prophet. It was he about whom Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that I am him. I am he that in his hand will be the flag of Hamd. Awwaleen, akhireen. Everyone who lived ever in the world will be there, and I will do their shifa. And the pond of Kawthar will be next to me. I will give the water from the pond of Kawthar. Shifa, my intercession will run that day. First, I will go into paradise. And the first, I will knock on the door of paradise. Look, imagine the status of this prophet who is coming to the world. Say, subhanAllah. So when he was born, then she said that, Hazrat Amina said, that such a nur light came out, such a light spread suddenly, that till Caesar and Khusru, all the palaces that were there at that time, I could see them in that instance. That's how far the light spread. At that time, Khusru, he was very famous, and his forts, his castles were famous, and the zalzala came, the earthquake came, and they dropped, and the fire of Faris, which was burning for so many thousands of years, extinguished. And the people of knowledge, they wrote that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the time of birth, Allah ta'ala gave that hukam, the go. Haq has come, batil disappear. This was the instruction Allah gave. That now until Qiyamah, alhamdulillah, that Sharia will come, that Sunnah will come, that nobody will be there who can wipe it away. Such a kitab will come. Why? Because everything is selected by Allah with Allah's fadl, with His grace. He is this Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Allah selected each and everything of His. Azwaj, wives, Allah ta'ala selected. Ashab, His companions, Allah selected. His family, Allah ta'ala selected each individual. And Ummah, Allah ta'ala selected His Ummah. In other words, it's not me and you, our selection. Don't even think about it. Our selection. Think about it, that we consider ourselves as minor human beings. Imagine that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has selected each and every one of us for this Ummah which is connected to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What a great respect and honor Allah has given to us. And we, on small little things, we make a face, we make a fuss, we criticize. Look at the honor and the status. We don't understand our power. And we should be proud. All the other ummas will be envying this ummah, our ummah, this maqam, because we have the connection with the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Everything of ours is unique, distinguished. Yes, when the mothers would come and the rich people would send their children to the mothers, the foster mothers. And when the Holy Prophet was born, then there were quite a lot of dais who came, foster mothers who came. And obviously he was yatim at that time and he was orphan and they weren't that well off. So all of the women that would come, they would look for that child that were children of rich families so they could get more money or more goods, and they'd come running. Whenever they find a child is born in a rich family or a noble family, they go rushing there to the more wealthy families and taking those children into their arms, and they bring them back to their dwellings to look after them. This is the tradition. And there was Halima, subhanallah, say subhanallah. And her camel was weak, she was sick herself, her transportation was weak, her husband was weak, and from the town she came, Halima, Sadia. She was from Bani Sa'id, and there was poverty in her village. There was no milk in the udders of the animals, and all the women folk are taking their children back, and she's still traveling to Makkah. Subhanallah, ajeeb, unique event. And someone said to her, where are you going? They said, what have you come here for? There's no child left now to take. All the children have been taken. We've taken the maal and the goods, and you're still coming. Oh, what's the benefit of you coming? They were asking her. And she was a bit disheartened. And the husband said, is it? They said, yeah, we've taken all the children. There is one child left. They said, we haven't even gone to the house. He's a child of orphan family, and they're poor people. They don't have much. We didn't even go towards the house. We didn't even face our direction. Maybe there's one child left and there's nothing else. So maybe all the women folk, they said that we didn't like that child, but in reality the situation was the flip side, that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't like them. He didn't select them. It was his selection. His heart didn't go towards them. So she thought for a while, thought, spoke to her husband, what shall we do? They said, okay, let's go back. The husband said, what's the point now? We'll have to travel again far. And then if we take that child back, there's no benefit. We don't have anything to give, and they won't be able to give us anything. Then suddenly a noor came into Bibi Halima. She said, suddenly a light came. Such strength came inside me, she said at that time. Such encouragement came inside me. A drive. She said, I said to my husband, I will not move from here until I don't take that child back with me. I have made a decision that I am going to take that child back with me, to rear that child. When she became stubborn on that point, he said, okay, fine, I'm with you. So she went to the door. She knocked on the door. and from inside, because she was disheartened that nobody came to get my child. Bibi Amina said, "Who is this?" She said, "Halima. Why have you come?" She said, "Oh, you have a child at home, isn't it? I've come to take your child." She said, "Come in." And soon as she went in, then she saw a unique sort of environment or air inside there. And the kitab is looking. These are all events written in the kitab. Mustanid, confirmed riwayat, narrations that I'm presenting to you. I've heard these also from the friends of Allah, and I'm presenting in your service. Yeah, these aren't incorrect words. I'm talking about the birth of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is a high level ibadah, worship, because the biggest ibadah, higher than all other ibadat, worship. I'm telling you this. So she was surprised. What's this? The child, she said, when I went into the room and I glanced at the child, subhanAllah, what did I see? That the Holy Prophet is smiling, looking at me, welcoming me, welcoming. And he hasn't even seen me. She ran towards the Prophet and she saw him. Immediately she fell in love with him, and immediately she said, "Amina, this child? What child is this?" And she swore that until today I'm a da'i, I've brought up children, foster children, and a beautiful child like this, until today I've never seen in my life. Yes? And then Amina said that, "What do you say? Since that I have given birth to him, then I'm lost in him, in his beauty, that what a child, a baby this is." And she didn't complete that. And then Jibreel spoke from the door, that what are you worried about? His voice came, that I went to Maghrib, I went to the west, to the east, I went to the heavens, and I'm so old, until today in the universe I've not seen such beauty, said Jibreel alayhi salam. Subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. And immediately she went and embraced the Prophet, did Halima. And she said, "My chest became so cool, and like ice had been placed into my chest. Cool. What a great child," she said. She said, "My heart was not detached from him at all. For a second, I could not leave him." The embrace, said Halima. And she took the child. She took the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And she said, "Listen, the child is an orphan. Be careful that everything I will give to you, according to my status, don't worry." And she said that, "Don't give anything less." Said Bibi Amina, she said, "Why are you saying this to me?" She said, "I've forgotten everything after seeing this child." She embraced the Prophet ﷺ, Allahu Akbar. She said, "When I embraced him to my chest, then that my breasts were so dry, there was no milk. Immediately my breasts were filled with milk." She said, "When I went out, then I saw my husband. And my husband," he said, "Have you brought the child?" When the husband saw me, he said, "You look so unique at this moment in time. You look so different," said the husband, Halima's husband. And then when she turned back, that same camel that was so tired and fatigued, its udders were full of milk. She said, "Oh, what's happened here?" And they took the milk out of their camel. They both drank milk. Halima Sadi and husband, they became healthy and full of energy. Said, "Amazing, what child have you brought here?" Said her husband, "He's got barakat, blessings." And they're going towards the camel. Come, quickly, quickly, let's go, quickly," she said, "run." Halima said, "Quickly, let's go, quickly, get out from here. I'm not going to stay here for a minute now, not stop here for a minute." And then when they were about to sit on the camel, the she-camel, and then she sat first, and the child, so she was there at the back, and the child in front, and the husband in the front, and the camel wouldn't get up. And she said, "Get the camel up." It wouldn't get up. And they tried so much, and the camel, the Shima camel, wouldn't get up. And then Halima said, "They said, you haven't understood this child yet. Foolish man, that put the child in the front, and you sit behind the child, then see what happens. Why are you putting the child in between?" He said, "What do you mean?" She said, "Do that." So he, the husband, put the child in front of the Prophet, and he sat behind. Immediately the she-camel jumped up. She said, "Don't you know that you have to do adab of this child?" Then the instruction will be carried out. The action will be carried out. From that time, Allah instilled the adab of his Nabi into mankind. The she-camel knew this. As soon as the Prophet was put at the back, because he was behind, and the husband of Halima, the Prophet was behind the back. So when he was at the front, the camel got up. Then when the camel jumped up, it didn't just move, it flew, you could say. And so quickly it was flying and jumping and running. And they were amazed. Is it the same? Is this the same she-camel? Is it the same child? They said, yes. But the camel said that this was your transaction you did, and this is my way of traveling now. So when they arrived to the village, the situation, the scenario in the village had transformed. There was poverty before. It was extreme poverty, barren land, dryness. What Allah showed, soon as the Prophet ﷺ arrived to the village of Halima, there was greenery everywhere, there was milk in the udders of all of the goats. The milk would never finish, you keep drinking it. And when they went to their goats, and they saw underneath that the udders were full, they said, quickly, 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 fill the milk into the vessels, the bowls, all of the vessels, the bowls in the house were full, but the milk was still the same in the goats. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammad. Who came to that village? Subhanallah. Imamul Anbiya, the head of the prophets, the master of the universe. My brothers, this is whose ummah we are in, Imamul Anbiya Khatam al-Nabiyin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he explained that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent me. I have come here, but understand, why have I come here? The real thing to understand is this, that Allah sent me. What was the purpose of such a great prophet, the greatest prophet to come here? The real point, he said, Allah's Nabi said, that understand what is my purpose of coming to this universe. Yes, because that's the benefit, if you understand the purpose, the objective, the reason. He said, I didn't come here to give ibadah, I didn't come here to give anything special, nothing. One special purpose Allah Ta'ala explained to me, and I will tell you that purpose. He who understands that purpose, then he is successful during his life, in his life. So tonight, this message, if we understand it, then subhanAllah, we'll get the dunya and we'll get the hereafter. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says a hadith in Mishkat. Hazrat Malik radiallahu anhu, he narrates this hadith that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the purpose for me coming is just one. The objective is just one. Utmimna husnu akhlaq. That just one point purpose I was sent to this dunya, that I came to this world to complete the concept of akhlaq, conduct, manners. So the real ibadah, the genuine worship, look, you know the objective, then everything else is underneath the objective. So when you have an objective, a purpose, everything else is, and it doesn't matter how big actions we see, X, Y, Z, but all of those things will be beneath the objective. They can't come above the objective. Nothing can come up equivalent to the objective, because the objective, the purpose, is always at the top. So the biggest ibadah is the objective of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to come here to this world. And that greatest ibadah is what? What is it? Which is bigger than all other forms of worship. If that ibadah is present, then all other ibadat are accepted. If that ibadah is not present, then no other ibadah is accepted or granted. Understand this point. So what is the mistake that the society makes, shaitan has made us commit, that the real ibadah has gone down and all the other ibadah have come up? And what is the consequence of that? That by leaving that ibadah, the purpose, the all other ibadah, they are also a waste, they've gone down the drain. So what we need to do is that the real purpose, objective, genuine ibadah, we need to attain that, for which purpose the Holy Prophet ﷺ came, and he came to teach us and explain this to us. And what is that? Akhlaq, to complete and perfect the good conduct and manners. A person whose akhlaq is good, then all of his ibadat are good. A person whose akhlaq is not good, then his ibadat are not good either. Any ibadah, you don't get the reward from any worship compared to the reward for good akhlaq. There's no reward. The amount of reward and qurb and nearness to Allah that you can get due to having good akhlaq, you can't get from any other worship. Because this is the purpose of the Holy Prophet ﷺ coming to this world, to teach this ibadah. And destruction and loss, at that time it will come into the ummah, when the real maqsad, the objective, the real ibadah, the essence of worship, when we leave that, shun that, and we go towards other focal points. We see that today. Around us, we can analyze around us today. We can assess. Look at the masajids. Look at all other actions in society. And look at all the different subjects of the deen and the scales. The thing that you'll see least today around us is akhlaq, the conduct, manners. And most of all, the least effort will be placed and made on akhlaq. This is the fact, we have to accept it. Least effort and focus and attention is pointed towards akhlaq. So how much we have suppressed and demoted akhlaq, which is the greatest action, akhlaq, that Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came with his glory and his status and his personality to teach us akhlaq, that I've just given you the introduction of his. And a person who keeps on trying to do this and makes this his purpose of life, and goes towards akhlaq to improve his akhlaq, then alhamdulillah, in both worlds he'll be successful, that individual. That's the difference. That's the difference. That's all it is. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. This is the straight path that we talk about. The completion of akhlaq. Everything you will see in the house, everything you can see. Yes, there'll be ibadah to the heights. You can see this around us today. Yes, azim, places of worship, Harameen Sharifain, there's no greater place than there. They're full of the worshippers. Arafat, you can go to the plain of Arafat, mashallah, worshippers. Safa Marwa, full of worshippers. You see people doing tawaf. You go on the Juma, on the Wida, you can see the tawaf, you can see the worship, you can see all of these things. But all these ibadat are lower, remember this, in status. One ibadah of akhlaq is most heavy, weighty, in Allah's, in nearness to Allah. Because that's our objective, that's our purpose, our maqsad. We are higher than the angels, not due to worship, not due to ibadah, not due to tasbih, not due to dhikr. We're not higher, superior to the angels due to acts of worship. We're not higher. But Allah says, you are more superior. Yeah, I made the angels submit to you, O human being. And two things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. Look here. Two things that Allah ta'ala, He made Adam alayhi salam in the form of a human, and Allah ta'ala blew the ruh into him. Look at how high is the human being. That is any makhluk like this, that Allah's ruh. Allah says that I created the image, the form of Adam alayhi salam. And I put the ruh into him. And you can say the most person who's not got the beauty, like we say ugly, a person's ugly. But no, there's an ajeeb husn. If you look at that person closely, you'll see the beauty in that person as well. Because the human being, ahsan al-taqweem, Allah Ta'ala says, the most superior form of creation. And the person that when he drops so low that even the worst of the animals, Allah says, take the example of the worst animals, the human being can become lower than that. So that's the two opposite extremes. And why is that? Based on one action, not ibadah, not worship, just due to one point, akhlaq takes a person from the best to the worst. The two extremes. Akhlaq, good conduct, excellent conduct. So we need dars for this, we need speech on this, we need sabak on this, we need lessons on this, we need effort on this for akhlaq. In the house, in household, families, we have divorces, we have fighting, quarrels, fasad, fitna, oppression, zulm. Scenes played out, we cannot imagine those places, those people who know the Quran, those people who pray salah, those who accept and believe in the Prophet, those who celebrate great days. This is happening in their midst because we are come off the track. My friends, for the sake of Allah, understand, the time to come is very severe and dangerous. The time to come. Without the proper preparation, if a person dies, remember this, then what will be the hal of that person? And we will die. And if we die without preparation, if a person doesn't know his objective of life, he doesn't know his purpose of life, then how can he prepare properly for the death, the hereafter? Tell me. Interview somebody. Yes, anyone. Interview somebody. XYZ. Guarantee, I'll tell you, 100 people you'll interview, ask them, what's your purpose of life, objective? Nobody will say that my greatest objective of coming to this world is that my akhlaq should be the best, beautiful akhlaq. Nobody will answer that. That person forgets his objective. How can he prepare for that time? If I don't know that which exam paper am I going to revise to sit the test, then will I pass that test? That exam? If I don't revise? If I don't even know the exam paper, if you sit me in the exam hall, and I don't know which exam I've arrived for here today in the exam hall today, I don't know what paper I'm going to be answering, then how will I revise, prepare and pass? So if the whole ummah today doesn't even know what's the objective for us in this world, Allah's Nabi came, soon as he arrived, he said, my objective is just one, to come to this world. I was sent with this glory, with this status, to complete the akhlaq. To teach and complete the subject of akhlaq. And all the illnesses inside the human being, what else are there? They're all deficiency of good conduct and manners. Dunya, greed, hasad, you take it, anything. Yeah, we have to accept it. And give me the formula, show me the formula that due to this formula, these diseases inside us will be extracted. They can't. They are sat in our roots of our body, inside us. Show me the formula that can extinguish them. All night long, ibadah, we worship. Pray salah, tahajjudin. After that, the human being, he's got bad akhlaq. You can see for yourself. Rather, it becomes a criticism of a person. Criticism. Ibadah, the man who worships, he's more disrespected. More dishonored. More criticism towards those people. We know what is our deen. Unknowingly, doesn't even come to our consciousness at the top of our heads, but unknowingly or unconsciously, you could say, we know. But this is not the deen. We know that we're not practicing the deen properly. The real deen is something else. We know this. So brothers, am I right or wrong? Tell me. Am I right or wrong? This is the message of Rabiul Awwal that I'm sharing with you, the 12th of Rabiul Awwal. The message. Who's saying don't celebrate the birth of the Prophet ﷺ? This is the way to celebrate his birth. This is the way. Yes, that we should revive his mission, his objective for which he came to the world. And today that mission, whoever stands on that mission and sticks to it, then he's become successful. He becomes the beloved colleague of the Prophet ﷺ. That person, he's valued and appreciated the objective of the Prophet ﷺ. Why deception, delusion? Why do we make our bodies and lives go towards wrong actions? We're making ourselves look better, glory, respect, I'm doing this. No such thing at all, my brothers. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to give us, deliver us to paradise. He came to connect us to Allah. He came to make us the friends of Allah. The place where we came out from, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to teach us so we can be developed back there peacefully, safely. Just from where our mother and our father, where they came from, we are going to go back there. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wants to deliver us back there. And what's the tariqah for them? What method, what action can take us back there? What ibadah, which worship, say loudly? Completion and beauty of akhlaq. Perfection of conduct, manners. I say there's no swab that can equate, as Aisha radiallahu anha said in a hadith. Listen to this hadith. I was sat down and I saw that a woman came, two children were with her, the lady, and I looked at them, I looked at the woman, and she was poor, and she said, Aisha, give me something to eat. And she said, I had nothing at that time, just one date. listen, I was reading this hadith and a deep point came to my mind, that how Aisha radiallahu anha, Aisha is speaking so humbly, that I only had one date. That one date from the house of the Prophet could fill all the stomachs of Medina. This is our iman. One date from the blessed house, the fountain of the Prophet's house, that beauty, barakah, blessing and weight and nourishment will be in that date that it can fill all the stomachs of Medina. So she said, I've only got one date. She said, I only had one date. So that date, I broke it, and she had two children. Subhanallah. She said, I gave half to her. No, I gave the date to her. She said, I gave the date to her. That you can take this date, I've only got one date. And she took the date, she saw the date, she broke it. Half she gave to one child, the other half she gave to the other child. She didn't take anything herself, she didn't eat anything herself. She stood and she left. As Aisha said, I thought until late that she didn't eat herself and she first and foremost gave to her children. What a great demonstration of motherhood. She must have been hungry herself. For the stomach, a person becomes selfish. Remember this, a human being. For the stomach is such an organ. At that time, a person when he's hungry makes a person selfish at that time for a stomach. And he then cuts corners and makes mistakes. But motherhood is a unique factor. She said, I was thinking this and the Holy Prophet came home. And it was a fresh incident that had occurred, as Aisha said, and the Prophet said, what's happened, Aisha? She said, oh, Prophet of Allah, and a unique event just took place here. That a woman came to me and she was hungry. Two children were with her, her two children, and half a date. She asked me for something. I gave her a date to eat. She took the date from me. And she didn't eat anything herself. Half a day she gave to one child. Half a day she gave to the other child. And the children were crying and she was quiet. And then she left. So look at the reward of the completion of Allah. This was a woman. Did she worship? Did she prostrate? Did she do tawaf? Did she kiss the Kaaba? Did she touch the Kaaba? Did she do some big action? Did she do something extraordinary? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said, Aisha, Allah Ta'ala, whoever Allah gives, who give the two daughters, and he didn't say it could be one daughter, whoever Allah Ta'ala gives a daughter, whoever has the, you could say, burden or the responsibility of daughters, because we run away from daughters, we run a lot from daughters. Yeah, we make a frown on the face, on the nose, we don't like that. There's, oh, you have a daughter at home. Allah, imagine the news comes to home. We don't want to hear that a daughter's been born. Yeah, if there's two, then we say, oh, big problem. Three daughters, oh, no, massive problem. Then those women are given divorce and they're expelled from the society. It's her fault, we say. Imagine this is our thinking today. Imagine. We talk a lot and ibadah, big, big statements. We don't just read Quran, we grind the Quran down. We grind the ground down. We say, this sawab, this reward, that reward, knowledge. Allahu Akbar. But deviated, my friends, we've deviated. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqeem. Sahih rasta, the right path, follow that one. So, Allah's Nabi said, whoever has the responsibility of a daughter, and he fulfills that responsibility, and he bears that responsibility and brings them up, rears them, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the fire of hell haram for that person. Tell me, can any ibadah give this conclusion? Can any ibadah give the guarantees that Allah gives the guarantee like this? Is there, tell me, any worship gives this guarantee conclusion? But husn akhlaq, immediately stamp of approval, immediate. And that the fire of Jahannam is haram for her. For that person. So what was this action? What ibadah was this? That we don't do. There's no importance in our brains. We have no care for this ibadah. No regard. We don't even think about this ibadah. This example. We don't even know that why is this difficulty coming in my life? Why problems? We look at other issues, factors. We don't look towards the akhlaq inside. We don't want to delve inside our depth of our own selves. The question doesn't arise that I'll look at my own self as a factor for the issues, problems. That we think, I think I'm so clean and pure, there's no one in the world better than me. We'll never look inside ourselves. Subhanallah. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Miskeen, the poor people, their widows, value, the person who values the widow of the poor and does a khalaq and favors them is such a person. What ibadah is this now? Tell me. What worship? Are these all the other ibadahs going down now? Is there any act of worship physical compared to akhlaq that we're discussing now? If in the heart of that person he has expressed his love, he just generates a bit of love, does this will come from working hard? It won't happen by sitting at home. It won't happen, this condition, feeling, emotion won't happen automatically. For this effort, that's why Allah Ta'ala has created us all lifelong. You need to make effort and work hard so you can become a human being with these emotions. Yes, for the sake of the broken heart, Allah created the human being. Allah says, there was nothing lacking in the universe that worships me. That the heart I've given to you, Allah says, that develop the pain and the regard and the love in the heart. Develop the love and the pain. You should be shaking inside. You shouldn't feel satisfied. The how is this person hungry? This person I know. Don't bypass this feeling. That you might be even buried under the houses, and that time we ask for charity when people are buried under the rubble of the houses when they're knocked down. Allahu Akbar. Before we ask for charity, that don't allow that destruction to come in the first place by making your Rabb happy. We shouldn't even get to that stage that we're running around begging for charity. Why you get to that stage? That you're asking for charity after Allah's azab comes? Am I wrong or am I right? Tell me. Yes, that this is just a discussion. We're sitting down, talking to each other, looking at our state of affairs. Why do we allow that state of affairs to come? Desperation. Did a sahabi of ours were begging, oh, earthquakes come there, floods come there, give us money, charity, help us? No. Help they asked for one, the sahaba, the companions, that help they asked, subhanAllah. That changed their hearts. Allah somehow changed the hearts of these people. To change the heart, this is the example. The revolution in the heart is, this is the revolution in the heart. That instead of extreme anger and hatred, there should be extreme love between those two individuals. That same person who used to meet us in a bad way, in anger and horribly, and he's got rid of all of that. He says, oh, come, embrace, and let's eat together and smile and have a good time together. SubhanAllah. The biggest enemy becomes his friend. Why? Because in the heart, when there's no other animosity and hatred and negativity, just love comes in. And pain for the other person comes in. Regard. Tell me, how many salahs do we pray and our foreheads are rubbed, the Quran's being ground down, the masjids are being ground down. Has the heart ever felt any pain for anybody? We hear events and stories and speeches and debates. Is there any effect on us personally? Why? Because our objective, we don't even remember objective. We never revised it. We never studied it. We come to the masjid, we don't know our objective. I'll come to pray salah. Salah, Allah can give you a tongue. But why is Allah send you to the masjid? Because there's an objective. It's the same objective of akhlaq. When you go, you stand amongst the people, you'll meet the people, seek someone. Can you help somebody out? Can you assist somebody? Can you love somebody? Can somebody, daughters, he's looking for a partner for his daughter. Can you help him find a partner? Can you mend the broken heart? They won't ask you solely, sincerely, purely, this pain in your heart that you look for people. Who can I serve and assist and help in society? SubhanAllah. For this reason, Allah made the masjid and sent us to the masjid. Five times a day we come to the masjid. There's a logic reason. That's our objective. For the sake of the broken heart, Allah said, I created you a human being. The why is it said? Yes, shoulder to shoulder. Have you ever thought why is it said that stand in the line, shoulder to shoulder? We keep saying, okay, everyone, stand shoulder to shoulder, and someone's dragging the feet towards the other foot, and the sake of our servant of Allah, every action Allah has hikmah, wisdom. Why is it shoulder to shoulder? We stand in the sub, shoulder to shoulder. Tell me. Explain. People say, oh, it's corona will come. Allah says shoulder to shoulder. Others say, no, corona will spread. Yes, so we say shoulder to shoulder. What does it mean, shoulder to shoulder? What's the reason? What's the purpose? SubhanAllah. That don't break the hearts, come together and mend your hearts together. That's why I've stood you here, Allah Ta'ala says. I don't need your prostration, Allah says. I want to mend and join your hearts. Don't be enemies together between yourselves. Don't have malice between your hearts. Don't hoard money in your pockets. ask him, are you poor? Do you need something in his house? There's destitution, poverty, he's got a loan, he's got a big debt. Get his problems away from him. That's why I tell you to stand together, so the currents flow between you of muhabbat, love. Say subhanallah. This is Eid Muladun Nabi that I'm celebrating with you today. This is Eid Muladun Nabi. Tell me, will you enjoy the march and the conference or these practical discussions? Tell me with the depth of your heart. Nothing to argue about. Nothing to argue about. What will you say there? Oh, this banging, eat, drink, jump up and down till the evening. And then in the evening one disappears. No benefit. Then he's swearing at him. Oh, he's this. Oh, he did this. He said this. Many fights take place after those conferences and marches and debates. In between the, oh, he's wretched. He don't know. He doesn't celebrate. They celebrate. They don't know how to celebrate. Astaghfirullah. Where has our Islam gone today? Imagine where's our Islam gone. Our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we're fighting over his personality. Imagine. Why? Because we've forgotten our purpose of life. Objective, we don't even know it. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, first lesson he gave was his purpose, his objective. So fighting at home, fighting outside, fighting with this man, fighting with the sister, quarrel with mother, chacha, mamu, relatives, and the mountains of fighting quarrels. Then we go on Hajj, and we go on Umrah. Yes, time and time again, Arafat is full with the human beings, and no one's heart is joined together. We are fighting, countries fighting each other, Muslim countries, fitna, fasad, and there's issues in the countries, fighting in the masjids, nifaq, hypocrisy in the mosques, and fighting between human beings and societies for the sake of the broken heart. Allah created the human being. We've forgotten our objective. Why? Because if we get up in the morning and the biggest ibadah, worship in the morning, don't say in a bad 21, I won't swear to anyone, in my heart I'll have love for everyone, I'll get up like this, I'll have worry for everybody, I'll look everybody nicely, and I'll, if I know somebody's pain, I'll go and ask him, help him. I don't care if he's Sikh, Muslim, Hindu, Kafir, Sikh, whoever I see in society, due to humanity, him being a human being, my heart will be full of love for that person. Subhanallah. Islam, where does Islam say that you differentiate between religion, feed that person, don't give food to that person? And so Ibrahim alayhi salam, this was his event, wasn't it? Remember the story? He used to eat, and don't you know this story? You know this, don't you? That without a guest, he would never eat his meal. As Ibrahim alayhi salam, once he was waiting for a guest, he went out, he said, oh, person, please come with me, eat. He said, okay, he said, I'll come with you, and I'll eat with you, he said. He got somebody from outside, I'll eat, but he said, I'm a disbeliever, I'm not a Muslim. Yeah? Ibrahim alayhi salam said, you're a kafir, disbeliever? I'm a Muslim, you're a disbeliever? Go from here. He said, oh, I'm not going to give you any food. And he said, get out. Ibrahim, then Allah Ta'ala sent the message, Ibrahim, is my food or is it your food? Is it my food or your food? Is he my servant or your servant? My creation, your creation. Why did you stop him from eating? Allah said, I'm your Rabb. Whether someone believes me or not, I'm Rabbul Alameen. Allah says, I am Lord of the Alameen. I didn't say I'm Rabbul Muslimin. So he'd gone. Then Ibrahim alayhi salam ran after him, for the sake of Allah, please come back. He said, no. He said that you are a disbeliever. I won't ask you any questions. Please come back and eat with me. Please come back and eat with me. Is this our heart? We hear these stories of Ibrahim alayhi salam. We are told these stories that this is lacking you, then become like this yourself. You need to become like this. This is your target. You haven't been sent to the world to make clothes, food. You have one shop, two shops, three shops, one house, two houses, house in Pakistan, house in this country, house in this country. Allah said, I've not created you for this purpose. For the sake of the broken heart, I've created the human being, Allah says. Mend the broken heart. In the heart should be coolness. When you get up, should be pain, sympathy. Someone's distressed, go and assist him. This ibadah, have you ever looked at this ibadah worship? In the day, have you ever thought of this ibadah? Do you do 1 taka worth of this ibadah in the day? The Rasulullah is the Nabi Rahmah, mercy. He said, I give you nasiha, teaching, education. These things, if they're not in the human being's life, then he's not a human being at all. He becomes a jinn, he becomes a ghost, he becomes mad, depression, mentally ill. He doesn't become a human being. And every other human being dislikes that person then. And everyone wants to take revenge on that person. Everyone considers him bad. Why? Because he thinks that he is not a human being. They're enemies between each other then. And never do this. He wants to be sincere with anyone else, that person. And then extreme, then he starts to dislike himself.
because he hasn't made his heart proper, he hasn't understood his objective, then he starts to dislike himself. Then he has so much dislike, he says, oh, I'll kill myself. Let's end the story. Now imagine. Why? Because apart from Allah, apart from understanding the objective Allah gave him, he's run away from his objective. He didn't work hard. Now at least let me improve my own heart. Say Subhanallah. So there was a king one day. I'm not delaying you, am I, in this discussion? Am I making you late for somewhere? Okay, then if I'm not, just sit here quietly, listen to what I'm saying. You've come for this reason. Sit quietly. Am I going to give you halwa puri here? Is that why we've come here? Yes, we have here to become human beings. And in Rabiul Awwal, 12th Rabiul Awwal, we're discussing these points, Subhanallah. The great darajat status, successful Eid Mulad al-Nabi, you are taking place. It's not the one with just the flags and the decorations. This is the reality of Rabiul Awwal. I'm reciting nasheeds and naats to you of the Holy Prophet. What beautiful nasheed from his birth to where we've come in this discussion. Sarjoki was a king. Rahmatullah alayhi. He was a king. He was a unique king and a unique story. And where great stories come out of my mind to share with you. Eh? Great stories. He was a king of his time. And he came into his mood and he announced, come on, let's go on a hunting today. Because the king is a king, isn't it? He has the pomp, the grandeur, the glory, status, power. He said, let's go out hunting today. Hunting. So they all got ready, all his people. King's going to go out hunting. Come, let's join the king. Everyone's ready. And they go towards the jungle. And they couldn't get any animal. And he's distressed and upset. And the people are saying that we can't get an animal of prey to prey on. What will the king say? Obviously, the king, they all jumped in, all sidekicks of the king. Oh, king will be upset. We can't get an animal. He's going to punish us. Oh, we can't get any animal to prey on. Because everything comes from above, from Allah. Allah gives the prey. Allah gives animal. It's not a maid, is it? A servant. The animal is going to pop out and say, you can prey on me. Everything comes from Allah. Where's the control? Where does health come from? Allah. Where does iman come from? Allah. Allah controls and gives everything. According to your niyyah intention, Allah keeps giving to you, according to your intention. So the animal of prey didn't come. They said, oh, we're finished now. Then they saw that there were some cows. They said, quickly get the cows. And the king said that you can't find any animals. And they took one cow. And they made it halal. And they made the tikkah. Nice kebabs. Fresh meat kebabs. And they decorated nicely. Presented it to the king. And very tasty kebab. He ate it. MashaAllah. He said, very nice, very good prey animal that you've hunted down. He ate and he drank. He ate the cow. Into the king's stomach, the kebab, warm, hot, inside, food. Evening fell. And whose cow it was, who was that person? She was a widow. And she had small orphan children, poor, poverty. And that cow, from that cow used to come milk. She used to sell that milk. And for her children, she used to then purchase food. Groceries. The cow's not coming home. She ran outside like mad because that was the sustenance, the food, the earnings. And the man who stood there, and he used to look at the cow, look after the cow. She said, well, my cow hasn't come back here. And she said, he won't even come back now. That person replied, he hasn't come back and he won't come back now. She said, why? What's happened to my cow? He said, he won't come back now, ever again. What's happened? She said, the king has consumed your cow. She said, I haven't understood. She said, the king came out hunting, didn't get anything. They took your cow and slaughtered it and made kebabs and food and ate it. She fell unconscious. The poor woman, she said, what's happening? My world is turned upside down. How will I bring up my children? What will I do? Then the person said, where's that king? She said, where's that king? He said, the king's in the jungle, but he will cross that bridge if you wait at that bridge. She said, tell me when. He said, from that bridge. She ran to the bridge. She stood there. And the king, he came. And the king was on his animal. She grabbed the animal. She said, oh, honorable king. Same king. He was a king, but he was a fakir. He was an honorable king. Because there are different types of kings, isn't it? Like Aurangzeb. And they are called kings. but also they are faqirs, simple, humble servants of Allah. Some kings, some people are faqirs in the world, but they are kings. They are kings. Allah says that if they raise their hands, I will never refuse their request. Imagine how great their kings, that Allah doesn't refuse their request. Do dua. Allah allows us, introduces us to such a king, so that your fortunes can change for the better. So brothers, so she stood, she said, oh honorable king, are you the king? He said, yes, I'm the king. She said, did you hunt? He said, what hunting? She said, my whole cow is gone into your stomach, the woman said. He said, what do you mean? She said, did you eat kebabs? He said, yes, I ate the kebabs. She said, do you know whose cow that was? He said, whose cow was it? She was my cow. I am poor, widow, mother of orphan children in my life. This cow was my life. This was my earnings. I have nothing else. You've eaten my cow. She started to cry and shriek. Sadly, she said, you've done zulm, oppression. That give the answer to my question, she demanded. And you give the answer on this bridge, or will you give it on the next bridge? It will be such a bridge, the next bridge, there will be extreme darkness. It will be sharper, thinner than a hair, thinner than a hair. There will be nobody to save you that time. Tell me which bridge you want to give the answer on, this bridge or that bridge. When he heard this, then the king was a fakir. Suddenly he stood up. Subhanallah. Subhanallah, this is the action to see. Fantastic. He stood on his transport and he put his hands together towards that woman, pleading. Tell me, listen to this. The real point that came into my mind, what's the meaning of this? He put his hands together, pleading. He said, madam, respected, honorable madam, respected mother, why are you angry? Why are you upset? In your house, before you go home, you will have the many, many cows. And that I will give to you. I made a mistake. That was not in my ilm, my knowledge. And he started to cry, the king, he pleaded with his hands together. He said, and she said, I don't believe, king, you will send the cow. He said, you just go home. Before you arrive, it will arrive to you. The king said, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانِ. Subhanallah. The king, why did he get scared? Why so much fear? So much he changed. Reason was what? That he was the king who had prepared for the objective for which purpose the Rasulullah ﷺ came to this world. His heart was made. This is the sign that a person whose heart is made, the fear of Allah comes so much into that person, so much fear comes into the person, that when a person reminds him that you have done an action against the order of Allah, then he shakes and he trembles, that how did I do this action? And this is the maqam, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانِ. That the person in whose heart khawf, fear of Allah comes, and he makes a mistake, and somebody reminds him of that mistake, and due to that fear, he shakes and trembles. What has occurred? He becomes upset, distressed. Allah says, due to that fear. In return for that, what happens? Allah says, the consequence, that he does tawbah, he repents, and then Allah compensates that person. Allah says, Allah will compensate for that. How did I do this? He makes a mistake, he asks Allah for forgiveness. If he has to give someone's right, he gives the right. If he's oppressed someone, he ends that oppression. In all way and forms, he wants to fulfill that thing that was lacking, that wrong that he did, due to Allah's fear. Because the fear of Allah has come to that person's heart. Allah says, the person who has that fear, due to my fear, he rights a wrong he's done, he rejects the sin. He won't just get one paradise, he'll get two paradise, two jannah. Subhanallah. Is anyone working hard on this subject? He was the king. Look at this, the maqam Allah gave to him. By his heart he made it, developed it, improved it, that he was the king who had fear of Allah. That how did I make this mistake? And due to that fear, he asked that woman for forgiveness. And he did tawbah, he repented. And the woman went away. And the story doesn't finish. And then listen to what I'm saying further. There's a break here in between. Just a break. And that do we feel the effects of our mistakes, that whenever we sin, has any fear come that I look at the girl, woman, do I leave looking at her due to fear of Allah? If I've sworn to someone, I want to take someone's rights, I want to oppress somebody, if somebody else fear comes, yeah, what will happen? I swear by Allah, if a person's making a mistake, and he's about to go way beyond in his mistake, and he's about to go towards the root of destruction, about to take a step wrong, and somebody explains to him, and the fear of Allah is developed in the person, instilled, and he sees extreme loss, destruction, he can see his life is being destroyed, but due to that fear, the person whose heart is made, remember this, that how does the heart get developed? Let me explain this about this heart. Allah Ta'ala said, Wattaqullah, instill and develop fear, such a fear that you are scared due to Allah's disobedience. How? Qunu ma sadiqeen. That's how you'll develop the fear. Qunu ma sadiqeen. That a person who goes with this niya intention to the company of a wali, Allah make my heart correct, Allah instill your fear into my heart, that whenever I'm about to commit a sin, that my hands and feet shake after that sin, during that sin. That's why I go to the company of the wali, Allah, friend of Allah, with this niya, I swear by Allah, he will return with this khawf in his heart. Amal, the plane of actions is hinged on niya. That from 100,000 niyyah, maybe one person has this niyyah, he will not leave as a failure, that person. If he has this niyyah. Whoever comes with this niyyah, Allah said, then the company of my wali, my friend, go to his company, but have one niyyah. No other intention. The person understands this message, that my heart will not be developed anywhere. No ibadah, no action will develop and improve my heart. Only one way, Allah has given a clue how to develop the heart, improve it. Allah has given the objective, then Allah has given us the clue, hint, if you want to make your heart full of Allah's fear, go to the company of the wali Allah, that's where you'll get Allah's khawf. Which place? Qunu ma sadiqeen, that sit in the sobat company of a wali Allah, friend of Allah, but you must have this niyyah that you want this conclusion. When you find a wali Allah, looking for a wali Allah, have this niyyah. Not I want to be a wali Allah myself. Allah, no, la. Even if 1% of your niyyah is contaminated with dunya, some other factor, you'll never get the success in the company of the wali Allah. You can grind yourself down all your life, but you won't get it. Say subhanAllah. So you understand the message today? So many years, there's no benefit. And there's no benefit, I'm going to this person's company, etc. I'm coming here, etc. There's no benefit. 15 years I'm going to do zikr, I'm not enjoying zikr. Oh, this is happening, that's happening, I'm upset, distressed. The reason is that you are playing games with Allah. You have not made the niyyah, the right intention. You haven't sought or gone out seeking the wali Allah's company with the right intention, because you don't know the objective of your life. You don't know your purpose of life. That what is the reason for my life? The person who knows his objective of life, that my heart is so dirty, how can I correct my heart? If my heart is corrected, my salah will be correct, my fasting will be correct, my hajj will be correct, but we run after, praise Allah, do this. Drink milk. If I say to the person, and if in that milk there are flies and insects, then will he get healthy by drinking that milk? But is it correct to drink that milk? Tell me. Is it correct? So what do you achieve by doing that? So if our niyyah intention is not correct, if we know we're going to the wali Allah's company, but we don't know why we're going to his company, we don't know why. And then we make complaints and a fuss and criticism, no benefit, no enjoyment, no feeling. What did you go there to acquire when you went to the company? What niyyah did you go for? What benefit did you go for? To make your heart? To cry? Or to ask other things of the dunya? Or to tell other stories to the teacher? There's only one objective which Allah Ta'ala's Nabi Sam taught us. Wattaqullah, qunu ma sadiqeen. Allah says in the Quran. So the woman went home, story continues now, after the pause. Do you understand the message in between now? The woman goes home. She went home, mashallah, the cows were stood there. And there was groceries, vegetables, she was happy, children happy. She started selling the milk, gave to her children, she was very happy. And she continued with the success. After some days, she got the message that the king has passed away. And she was very upset and sad. The king has died? When she heard this news, then she stood up. suddenly. And she arrived to the grave of the king. She arrived to the grave. And she raises her hands up. And with a heart she cries. One is crying, and one is crying from the depths of the heart. O Mawla, our Lord, O Arhamar Rahimeen, O you who are merciful, O you who are merciful. She said to Allah, Allah, I'm raising my hands, I spread my hands, I ask you one thing, I'm begging from you, Allah. Ya Allah, I was a widow, and my children were orphans, I was poor, and I was living in the life of poverty, and this man who has passed away and arrived to you today, who's lying in the grave, he assisted me, he helped me. And he helped me in getting away from poverty. He helped me so much. And he was a muhsin. He favored me. He favored me and my children. And he asked me. And he filled my stomach. Ya Allah, Allah, this man has arrived to you. Just one thing I beg from you, Allah, that forgive this person. Forgive this man. Allahu Akbar. The way that he filled my empty stomach and he filled the stomachs of my children and he helped me and assisted me. Oh my Mawla, my Lord. Today he's in the depths of the grave. Allah, you know his reality, that what is the grave? You know he's in isolation now. He's in the depth of darkness now. The king has finished. His kingdom has gone. No one left to ask him. And the reality of life has come in front of him. And he will be answering the questions now. The woman saying this. Allah, right now, I ask you to help him. Allah, forgive him and give him maghfirah, forgiveness. She cried, and wiped her hands on her face, and she went home. She went home. She went to sleep, and the king came to her in the dream. Subhanallah. Look at the story, how it started. The king came in the dream, and she said, King? She was happy, and he was king. She said, How are you, king? How are you, honorable king? She said, Why do you ask me? I passed away, I was buried. And don't ask me, the azab started, the punishment. The punishment. And I'm talking about a pious, good king. This is the reality of the world. Because the qabr, the grave, is reality. We need to prepare for the grave solidly now. He said such azab, punishments and severity when it started. Then I was finished at that time, he said. I was finished. But great achievement of yours, that you made that great achievement, that as soon as you pleaded to Allah and you referred Allah, you gave the reverence of your poverty, destitution, your request, Allah Ta'ala liked it so much that Allah took me out of the severity and took me to the heights of Jannah at that time. And all of the ibadat and all of my worship that was floating away, that there were things contaminating, that there was pride and riya and pretense and dunya. And all of my ibadat Allah allowed to come back to me. Allah elevated my status. And then the recognition that came within me strong. Listen to this message. There's a message I'm giving to you all now. I'm giving you the conclusion statement of fakirs. These majalis gatherings are for this reason that we gather together. This statement is the attainment of this gathering today. How can I explain this? The attainment of this gathering, the success of this majlis, the theme, the essence of this gathering, you could say, is this statement. One great nasiha I'm giving you, brothers, listen to this. That before dying, with any person, such a beautiful treatment, you do that after you die, he enables you to become forgiven. This is the greatest thing. Don't fall into the traps of ibadat and worship. The real objective that Rasulullah came to this world with was what? Husni akhlaq, perfection of conduct. So if you have good conduct manners with a human being, and you treat that person nicely, that for that person it becomes such your action that when you pass away, then that person, that you did, the action you did for that person, that it becomes a source of your forgiveness. This is the real ibadah worship. That a person, you realize, oh, he's died. And suddenly he raises his hands and he makes the path clear for you. Allah, forgive this person. He did so much for me, this person. He did such a big favor on me, my children, for my family. I was totally wasted. and close your eyes. The maraqba we do at that time, think that have you ever done something with your hands to help someone in your life that they will pray for you, or have you got a niyyah to assist somebody? Then do I have a need to do this? This is the action that will give you the forgiveness that will take you to paradise. Do we do so much today? How? We make a hospital and then put cameras, TV cameras, recognition, cut the tape, opening tape, this man's making the hospital, he paid for this, he's made the funds. Or we install a water tank and put 30,000 names, this man, he sent money from here, he made the water tank. We think this is a favor. Is this what we call the action? For the pain of the heart, the broken heart, do an action for a human being that you mend the broken heart. That from your water tank he drinks the water, such coolness comes in his heart. Allah, he says, Allah, we don't know the man who made this. We don't know the name. Allah is not in requirement of a name. Allah Ta'ala doesn't need to know the name of the person. Do good action and put it into the well. Do good action, do it for Allah. Don't remember, don't do it for adverts. Oh, I have my photo in the newspaper, this man, the cutting, opening ceremony, everyone knows, this is hospital, he installed the water tank for sawab, he paid the money, and he did this and that, and he paid, no, not at all. Do an action that apart from you and Allah, no one knows, even in your heart, even you forget, you did the goodness, you forget as well. And when you go into the darkness of the grave, then that man knows, and his hands raise up, oh, that man's died. Oh, he was such a good man. Soon as he says that, then you are successful, you are free, you are successful. So my brothers, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that my objective was one, coming to this universe, and the, which caution with care and detail he came to the world, he illuminated the world, and he decorated the world and paradise, the objective of the universe. He said, with this objective to complete it, perfected the objective that was given to me. Allah gave me many actions, and he gave me the objective that due to me the heavens and the universe, the farsh, the arsh, everything that Allah Ta'ala said, the trees, the nature, the greenery, the whole universe was decorated due to me. And I was sent for what? For the purpose so I can complete and perfect your akhlaq, your manners, your conduct. We say, no. I want to be Hajji. I want to be Umri. I want to be this. Don't be anything, my friends, anything at all. Just one thing do in your life. Just one thing. That mend the pain and the broken hearts, that you cannot accept that there's a problem in the heart of the person. That you have the enjoyment in getting the forgiveness. You get enjoyment in helping. You get enjoyment in spending the money. You look for excuses to help people. You beg and submit and help people. Not that you're arrogant and you're asking for, I've done a favor for you, do a favor. The king put his hands together and said, forgive me. وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِهِ جَنَّتَانَ. For Allah's sake, due to the fear of Allah, he pleaded and put his hands together. That I plead, I beg you, woman. For I ask you for forgiveness and I will send the cows to your home. This was the khawf, the fear. But no. We should know what is our purpose. May Allah Ta'ala, to me as well, and most of all me, because you as well, this ibadah, may Allah give us all the tawfiq, ability to do this ibadah. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Wasaidu rushi.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Assalatu wassalamu ala sayyidina muslimin, shafi'il muslimin, da'wa yasin al-habib al-amin. Allahumma salli ala muhammad wa ala ali muhammad wa salli. ادخلنا جنة ما على بلا عرشي عزيز يا رب العالمين اللهم نسلك الله فلا بالماء الدنيا ولا قناة الجاهلين يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم اللهم انا نسلك من خير ما قد من نعوذ بك من شر ما استغفر منا نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم انت المستعان وعليك الولاء ولا حول ولا قوة الا بالله ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما اللهم رب ارحمهم كما ربياني صغيرا يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك استغفر تمام بیماروں کو شفا نصیب فرما یا اللہ تمام بیماروں کو شفا نصیب فرما یا اللہ تمام بیماروں کو شفا یا اللہ تمام مصیبت زدوں کو مصیبت کو دور فرما دے یا اللہ تمام کی حاجاتوں کو پورا فرما یا اللہ تمام کی حاجاتوں کو پورا فرما یا اللہ ہمارے دلوں میں جو بھی ہماری خواہشات ہیں میرے مولا ہماری خواہشات کو پورا فرما دے یا اللہ جہاں ہمارے کام اٹکے ہیں ان تمام کو پورا فرما دے یا اللہ یا اللہ تو اپنے پسند سے ہمیں دین پہ چلنے والا بنا دے اے میرا نبی پاک کی سنت پہ عاشق بنا دے یا اللہ شریعت کے مطابق زندگی بنا دے یا اللہ شریعت کے مطابق زندگی بنا دے یا اللہ موت کی تیاری نصیب فرما دے یا اللہ قبر کی تیاری نصیب فرما میرے مولا یا اللہ ہمیں پکا نمازی بنا دے یا اللہ ہمیں پکا نمازی بنا دے یا اللہ قرآن سے محبت عطا فرما قرآن کی نصرت عطا فرما یا اللہ دن رات ہمیں قرآن پڑھنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ نور عرشہ زینت فرشہ وعلیہ وصحبہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون وسلام علی المرسلین والحمد للہ رب العالمین.